our high priest, good father, shepherd, the bishop of our souls, we exalt you. We lift you up, Holy One. We magnify your name. You who sitteth in the heavens, we bless you. We are here for you, Jesus. Nothing else matters but you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your heart towards us this morning. We thank you for the table you set before us. We ask our Father that you will speak freely. Open your mouth, High Priest. Your sheep, your children, we are hungry and we are ready. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Panahata. I'm a good father. I am a good father. I am good. I am good. And I am good. And I'm doing you good. I am good. I am good. And I'm doing you good. I'm giving you goodness. I'm giving you good tidings. I'm making you good. For there is none that is good but me. And I'm making you good after my order. Lebeta vika frote pustavrante gelabata. Gagaganata. Oh, God is good. Kafria tepania. I'm doing you good. I'm doing you good. And I bring you good tidings. I bring you good tidings. I bring you tidings of good times, of good things. I bring you good things to come. I am that merciful and faithful high priest, and I'm that high priest of good things to come. I am that high priest of good things to come, and I come with goodies. I bring you goodies for to make you good, for to make you good, for to make you good. For there is none that is good. But I am good and I'm making you good after my order. For Lebegatina, for Nimas, Tefita, Fania, Tosta, for it is even I, your Lord. It is I, your Lord, that put it in the heart of my servant, for to call you up. For there is work of goodness that has been done in you. And out of the abundance of the goodness of my heart, I find it fit for you to stand here for to declare my goodness to my people. So fe poste freteli kapatie fe nemoste pania, for I anoint your lips. I anoint your tongue. I anoint your heart. I anoint your thoughts for to fetch my goodness out of the raising, out of the workings and the deckings and the goodness I've wrought in you for to bring goodness, for to bring goodness, for to bring good tidings, for to bring counsel, for to bring counsel, for to bring counsel and for to bring counsel and wisdom, for to bring counsel and wisdom. So pelega, so hold not back, but speak in the power of the might which I've given you. Speak in the power of the might which I've given you for to fit my people into goodness, for to fit them into the lane and the way of goodness. For I fit you up. I fit you, I equip you, and I've anointed you. I've anointed you. I am with you. I am with you, and I've come to help you. I have come to help you for to speak good tidings, for to declare good tidings, and to declare good tidings. So I bring tidings. I bring tidings, and I want to bring it through you. So I've given you a mouth and a wisdom that enemies will not be able to gainsay. So speak with boldness. Speak with plainness of speech, for I've given you utterance. I will help you. Stand in the power of the might of the house. Stand in the power of the might and the grace in the house, and declare this goodness to my people, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this honor. I thank you because you don't see the way we see.
thank you because you know why you chose me to stand here this morning. I yield my vessel to you. I come under my husband, under Pastor Essie, under Pastor Jeff. I pray that you take over my tongue, take over my mind. Let me do what you want me to do here. Let me not fall short. Let your children be blessed. You are a good father. You are a good shepherd. You want to feed us and we want to eat. Speak through me, Heavenly Father. Let your name be praised this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And can we go to Romans chapter 10, we'll start with verse 14. Okay. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, please. We're going to go to 17. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Shall we read it together, verse 17? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One thing that preaching the word of God does is actually preaching generally, you know, because there's, you know, spirits preach as well. But one of the things that preaching does when it's happening is to call for your desire, right? You know, when we talk about faith, believing in the things, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Pastor Jeff has talked about, you know, the unseen realm and the seen realm. And one of the things that preaching does is it paints a picture of something that is currently not seen to you, right? Either in your imagination or in your physical reality. And so what preaching does is it comes to paint a picture. But the demand is really for your desire, right? Can we go to the mark that says whatever things you desire when you pray? I think it's Mark 11, 24. There, thank you. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So we're going to break this down some. 24, please. Thank you. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. You cannot pray without a desire, because what are you praying for, right? There's a desire in your heart first, and then you go to pray. So one of the things that preaching does, it paints a picture, good or bad, but we're going to focus on good, because obviously, good God. Right, when preaching is going on, and that could happen like right here, when Pastor Jeff is preaching, you know, thoughts, because, you know, it's about painting a picture. So anything that paints a picture, because the thing with thoughts is thoughts are like words, silent words, because you end up with a picture. And what it's demanding is a desire. And that desire should lead to prayer. You can choose to pray about it or you can choose not to, which then takes me to my next point of choice, right? Pastor Jeff said that faith is really a thing of your will, right? When you set your heart to pray, first of all, you're praying a desire and then you're choosing to release your will. Like even praying itself is something you will and you do, right? So when we talk about desire and prayer, you can desire but not pray. There are many things that, you know, I want this, I desire this, but you don't do anything about it. It stays a desire. Sometimes it dies. Worst case, it's taken away by another desire, right? Which is one of the things that you know, spirits do when they come to preach something else to you. You know, Pastor Jeff had talked about the wisdom of this world and how the things of this world are hidden in the wisdom of this world. And when spirits come to teach you, when spirits bring wisdoms to you, that's what they're doing. They're trying to call for your desire to shift from something else to what they're showing you. But the thing, like I said, is you can have desire and you cannot choose. So when preaching comes and you give your attention, you give your affection, soon enough, it'll stir up desire in you. And then that desire should lead to prayer. You should choose to pray with that desire. But one of the ways that, you know, because we've been hearing a lot of things, but we agree that not everything we've heard has either materialized in our hearts or has, I don't know how many times we always pray about the things that we hear. And that's one of the, I guess, part of the battle that we have to fight when we come to meetings or wherever it is that you are gathering words for pictures, right? Because like I said, teaching goes beyond the pulpit. Teaching happens at home. The Holy Ghost can come and, you know, put more color to pictures. Is the discipline of staying on the thoughts that were delivered during the preaching, the picture that was painted during the preaching, staying on it until it births a desire that moves you to pray about it, right? Because, you know, Pastor has talked many times about love, the love of Jesus and how he's wooing us as a lover. That's what he does when he's opening things up to us. And this preaching desire, you know, prayer process, which by grace of God will go as I find utterance, is both natural and spiritual. You know what we're seeing, because social media, you know, we've been warned against it. We've been warned about it. One of the things that social media does is it paints pictures. And if you're not careful, you won't realize when the desire has come, right? Because you give enough attention that it births a desire. This thing is not dramatic. You know, you can look at something, and there was something, I was talking to someone who takes pictures, and he's like, there's, I forget what he called it, but it's like mental pictures that you take without even realizing. And sometimes you want to do something and inspiration comes. You think, oh, I just thought about it. No, you took a picture before and that picture actually gave you counsel on how to do certain things. So when we talk about preaching, you need to be careful with the things that you are hearing. You need to be careful with the amount of attention you give. Not that you should never use social media, because obviously WhatsApp. But but when you are, like, what you commit your attention and your affection to is very important, right? Sometimes it feels like we come to meeting, we hear what Pastor Jeff has to say, we memorize it, we take notes, and we go back to our regular lives. Your entire life is about this thing, fighting for desire, fighting your attention, fighting your affection, and then praying. Praying is more than just kneel down, close your eyes, da da da. Prayer is a release of your faith. When you're doing life every day, you're releasing faith for something. As simple as sitting on a chair, you believe that that chair is not going to fall. That's an exercise of faith. But then it graduates all the way to like spiritual things. But my emphasis at this time is the importance of your attention and affection to the preachings that are happening every day, right? Pastor Jeff talked about last Wednesday, talked about the spirit of one who's separated. He said one who's separated is a work. And one who's separated is one who is committed to the focus of things unseen, right? Which means, like he said, everything about your life is about what you're seeking for. So if you have the attitude of, after meeting, I go back to my regular life, then you are not yet separated. Now, of course, separation is in grades, right? Because there are things we don't know. Is when preaching comes, you see a picture, you meditate, you focus on it long enough, then desire is birthed, and then you kind of start paying your dues to that desire. But just want to point out the importance of giving attention to the preaching that's happening, and then the amount of attention and affection that you give. And this thing, when I first heard it, it sounded like, oh, is this deep thing where you sit down, you meditate, and if you don't meditate, then, you know, you're not necessarily giving yourself to those things. But it's very simple. What thoughts are you taking? What things are you meditating on? What things occupy your mind? They're as simple as, okay, we keep talking about dress, shoe, and bag, right? There's no way in this life, by the grace of God, not ever, that I will imagine lemon green hair on my head or desire it. First of all, I haven't seen anything that has painted that picture to me. And even if it did, I wouldn't even desire it, right? So I'm saying that these things are subtle enough that if you're not careful, you will be investing your soul energy on things that are of this world, right? So I was saying how that you would go from desire to the choice to pray. And then you pray. Let's keep on going. When you pray, believe that you receive them and then you shall have them. There is a journey from when you pray to when you receive them. And in that process is where there's heavy warfare, right? Because for you to receive, you have to stay believing. To stay believing, you have to keep choosing to believe what it is that that started the belief in the first place, right? And I was saying before how that what spirits do is that they come to preach something else so that you can shift your desire, right? Depending on what part of the process you are, of course, this is like iterative. It happens, you know, it's not like, oh, I believed and therefore it continues. Every time preaching happens, it's supposed to trigger the process for every measure of, it could even be preaching of something natural, spiritual. This goes both ways. But let's take, for instance, the natural part of it. Someone comes and preaches to you, say there's some type of sickness you have. Fill in the gap. And someone comes and tells you that Jesus can heal you and goes through scripture showing you time after time where faith did, you know, Jesus used faith and all that, and power is released. And you start believing it. You desire the healing because, first of all, you see that it's possible. You have a picture of yourself free from whatever disease that is. Right. So that desire, you choose to pray about it because you can desire it. Ah, I believe I'm healed. But that's, you know, eventually that desire will fade away because it has to be anchored on something. Right. So the word of God has been preached. You have faith. You have desire. Then you go and pray. Right. Pastor Jeff, I talked about how there's healings that happen instantaneously and there's healings that take process. Right. It happens in the spirit and then you have to wait for the process till it manifests in the physical. Again, using healing as an example, which is where you have it. Right. So you start praying about healing for this disease. You stay on the word. You release your faith. You know, the picture you have, you stay on it, you meditate on the word, because scripture has said this, I believe it, and you know, you're praying. And then, for whatever reason, you decide to Google said disease. How has this been treated in the past? And evil spirit obviously brought that thought. How is this possible? Go and check Google. See if it's ever if it's ever been healed before, medically speaking. You know, and they'll tell you, oh, the Lord raised doctors, so doctors, da da da. But maybe for your own case, the Lord wants to do something miraculous, wants to teach you something. He wants to use the substance of faith to do the work. And then you start reading whatever it is. Soon enough, your desire is weakened. Soon enough, you don't have desire anymore. And then you stop praying. Right? So what that evil spirit has done is it has preached something else to you that made sense to you because, again, we are in the physical world and we're closer to senses. If it makes sense, if it feels right, if it looks good, eyes, ears, feelings, then we hold on to it more because that's the weakness of the flesh, right? But one of the warfares is, again, using this example of healing, is you stay on the word. You choose, again, to stay on the word. You reject whatever thoughts that this spirit brings, right? And the thing with especially those ones that take time is that the longer it is, the more you have to war, right? Because, you know, when it comes to faith, like Pastor Jeff said, there's a world of faith. And when you release your faith, when you choose to pray, what you're doing is you're calling for a substance from that world, right? It's the power of faith that makes it happen. Right, but the way I see it, because my mind is pictorial, some, it's almost like, you know, I watch cartoons because we're children of God. And just think about another world where there's aliens and there's a whole way they do things, And there's a substance. It's like once you set your heart, you know, Pastor was talking about Daniel, when Daniel set his heart to pray. It's almost like you are shooting something and then you start to pray, you've released it. Heaven recognizes when faith is released, right? And then a portal is open and then the thing you're looking for starts to come. But again, it's from a distance, right? Just picture, I'm not saying that's exactly how it is, but just for the sake of understanding. It starts to journey. For the period of time between when it's released and when you receive it, you have to keep choosing to believe. But that's where spirits come. Their job is in that time. They want to make sure they either weaken it or take it away completely. And that's when, you know, Jude said to contend for the faith that was once given to you. It's a contention. You have to fight. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say is when we talk about faith, the believing, the staying, the waiting, the praying, the trusting, the choosing, it's a battle because of the way we are framed. There's works in us that have been done where if it doesn't make sense, if it doesn't look real, if it doesn't seem realistic, it's easier to shift focus. But your desire must stay growing. You must choose and choose and choose and choose until your choice is firm enough that nothing can shift you from that belief. That's when you've received, right? Because, you know, your choice or your measure of desire, so to speak, must be full on that matter, right? It's like, as you stay believing, your faith is growing. Every time you go back to the word, every time you pray, every time you, you know, speak with your mouth, every time you resist a temptation, every time you speak back to the enemy, it's possible, I believe. You know, all those activities of warfare in the process of faith, in the process of believing, your faith is increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing until it gets to a measure where it's so evident inside you that even if a doctor with experience tells you this thing is not curable, you can't deny it because the substance that you've received in your heart is too strong to deny it. But you must war, you must labor, you must fight for your faith to grow to that measure, right? Because what Pastor Jeff was talking about, you know, opening the portal for power to come and, you know, make it manifest, whatever it is you're looking for, make it manifest in the physical. The thing is, that measure of faith has a power, has a strength. Is the strength, is the power of faith that makes impossible things possible, right? So you must continue in the journey of believing, in the journey of faith, the exercise of what you allow come in, what you listen to with preaching, what you stand on, right? And of all these things, of course, they happen in sobriety. My husband's favorite word, sobriety, right? Because it's sobriety that will counsel you not to check Google, not to listen to that thought, not to stay in places where the words will contradict the words that you have believed to start even praying in the first place. You have to be sober, and sobriety has counsel of how to be. Right now, I was talking about the healing and how you have to stay in faith until the measure of faith gets solid enough where nothing can shift you. Then you've received it, and then you begin to confess. It's only a matter of time where it manifests, right? And confession is more than what you say with your mouth, right? It's in your actions, because actions also speak. Some say actions speak louder than words, right? If it's a sickness that, you know, you're believing for, once you've received, no matter what symptoms you are experiencing, no matter the feelings that you are having, it is not real. It is not real. Like Pastor Jeff was saying, you have to choose to believe in a different reality. You know how I was talking about aliens and having another life? That's another reality. That's actually our reality as spirit beings, right? But, you know, one of the things that faith towards God does is it trains us using the natural things, the physical things, healing, it could be whatever things it is that you're believing God for. Once you have a word, once there's been a picture painted by the word of God, you can allow your desire to begin to grow. And you keep choosing, right? You have to fight. And I think that's the part that is just in my heart, is the emphasis of the fighting. Because we give up easily, right? And sometimes we use our own hands to drop our weapon, right? Like, what's your business talking to somebody who does not believe in healing, why would you try and convince them that I believe in Jesus? Jesus can, no, if they are not strengthening your faith, leave there. You know, sometimes my husband was saying that sometimes even the social media content we take, we don't realize, you think you're strong enough to handle it, but you don't realize your strength and you just pollute yourself. And then you go to prayer and you find that, I don't know if I believe anymore. Yeah, because you've tampered with your faith, right? So sobriety, fighting, warfare until you receive, and then you have. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was things. One of the, Pastor said this before, that one of the labors or one of the warfares in the spirit is for men's hearts. You know, I think he said it was land space that spirits are looking for, both, you know, good and not good. Although the angels, they're not looking for space for themselves. They're looking to put the things that they've been given to minister to us. But speaking about faith and holding on to it until you receive, you know, the substance of what it says you're believing for. The thing with things is every spirit is looking for souls to hold their own reality. And that's what the preaching is for. You know, one of the things that God is doing when he preaches through his servants is he wants to bring us into his reality, right? But for you to be a partaker in that world, you have to have their things. And so, when preaching happens, there's a release of things. You now have the responsibility of taking, holding, and owning, right? You don't own until it's a part of you. And evil spirits, too, are trying to replicate that preaching so that you can desire and then pray and then have, right? Because the more men hold their reality, the longer this world stays. And that's what they're doing. Right? You know, Pastor has said time and time again that for this world to be wrapped up, we have to import the things of our own world. Right? And that's what the preaching that happens every time we come in and every time you are, you know, listening to the word, either by the Holy Ghost or anyhow. Once preaching is happening, and when I say preaching, I mean the painting of another reality by the word of God. Because we don't care about the other preaching. But the point is to import things of a different world into this world so that we are living in the same reality that the Lord is living in. Amen. Am I making sense? Right? So when we talk about things, you know, things are first spiritual before they are physical. Right, everything that exists was first in spirit form. And I know the first time I heard that, I was just like, chill, how is this TV a spirit? Like, actually, chill. It was a thought. Thoughts are spirits, right? And once, you know, the inventors or whatever, once they received the thought, they desired it, and then they stayed. Your Einstein, everybody who, you know, discovered light and quote-unquote, they stayed on it. How many times did Hood spend before he went to Eureka? Length of time, because the desire was strong. And that's what happens every time we come here, and it seems like we're hearing the same thing over and over again. Yes, it's to strengthen your desire, because your desire must be strong enough to pull down what it is you're looking for in prayer, in warfare, in labor, right? So why are we Christians? What are we doing with our lives? We are fighting to hold the things we are hearing. We are fighting to receive the things of our world because this place is not our home and these strange things are polluting us, right? So things, spiritual substances, is what the Lord wants to give us. But like Pastor Jeff was saying, if you've not learned how to receive things for the physical life we are living, the warfare is stronger for spiritual things. Satan doesn't care what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you have. Yes, he will fight that, faith operation, because eventually, you start looking for things more than car and shoe. But, sometimes, and I say this sort of to encourage us, we look at people who don't look like they're doing the things we're doing. They don't look like they're, enduring / suffering the things that we're suffering. It looks like things are working well for them. Satan knows what he has given them. Pastor says spirits are looking to spoil men. They want to exchange your thing of value for their thing of worthlessness. To spoil somebody is like to steal from them, to take away something valuable. And I remember the first time I heard that steal from them thing, I thought, so one would just be empty. No, they steal by giving you other things. They steal by giving you other things. Spirits, depending on the cater, they are wise enough that they know how to steal from you, right? The way they'll steal from somebody who's still looking to the Lord for butter and bread is not the way they'll steal from somebody who's looking for righteousness. They know how they'll come, right? And so when we say they want to spoil a soul, they want to give you their things, you know that they're already decayed, right? They're already decayed. So what they want to do is spread the decay in men. So when spirits are painting pictures, I just want to highlight the importance of the aggressive attitude you should have against the wrong preaching. What they want to do is spoil you. They want to corrupt you. They want to make you useless to God. They want to take as many of us as they can to the lake because they know their fate already, right? So don't take for granted preaching. It could be as simple as, I don't know what is simple these days, but anything that's fighting with your desire for the things that you are hearing wants to spoil you. No matter how simple it is. No matter how simple it is. And that's why, Pastor, I talked about when we come here and how to prepare our hearts. I was asking my husband, is it that when you're here and the preaching starts, you focus your attention on your thing? And he's like, it starts before. Because if you don't have an interest when you come, you may not even have the opportunity to connect. Because Satan starts fighting from the beginning. He knows that this place, at least, and other places where the Lord has shown mercy, is secrets that would, first of all, expose their operation and then thwart their plans. So you have to start from, again, like I said, it's a life exercise. Your attention, your interest, your focus, your desire. So that when you come here, you're not fighting to be interested in what Pastor is saying. You're not fighting to focus and try and understand. You have to start from, I'm going to use meetings as an example, but really it's supposed to be your lifestyle. Every time you should be fighting distractions. But using an example of coming to meetings, you should have put the food in the fridge, turn off the gas, everything that could come as a distracting thought. Because those distracting thoughts are like a second preacher. Pastor has said many times that when we are gathered here, spirits are also gathered. They are painting pictures as well. Sometimes very useless paintings. I'm like I said before that I'm a picture person. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, pastor's shoes are nice. Or, wow, mama's been working nice. Those silly things that seem simple, boy, they've distracted you. Maybe in that moment, the thought that pastor was preaching is what you need to strengthen your desire, or better yet, to paint a picture of, because if you think of a picture as a puzzle, every time you come to hear preaching, it's a piece added to the puzzle, piece added to the puzzle. When you see the full picture, desire rises, and then you choose to pray about it. There are many pictures that we don't have the full image of, and that's why we don't pray about it. We don't see the need for it. When you see the full picture, the desire should rise. And then, again, like I mentioned before, choice and staying on it. But I just want to emphasize the importance of fighting to stay on the right preaching, right? Because I know I mentioned, shoe and things that seem trivial, but that piece might be what you've been looking for a while. You know, that sometimes you can understand what Pastor is saying in a certain way, but then he says it a different way because, you know, one has to paint it in different pictures. And he's like, but I thought, how come faith, hope, charity, which one comes first? You know, those kind of things, understandings that are not whole because you have not captured the different pieces of the picture, the different thoughts that should make up the picture, that should create the desire that should start growing in you for you to receive that thing that you've seen, right? Evil spirits are not happy, and they will fight anyway, anyhow, to distract you. Legitimate things, illegitimate things, all they want to do is paint a different picture. They want to put a different piece in your puzzle where if you're beginning to see an image, they can stain it with a different understanding, right? And if you're not careful, you will take it, run with it. And that's how we have wrong doctrines, right? You were listening to something, the picture was being painted, and then you tuned your ear wrongly. Because like I said, evil spirits know how to steal from you. They know the kind of preaching. The boy is going to come preach to me about smoking. Even when I was in the world, I didn't even like smoking. Alcohol too, I didn't care for it. I was a sweet tooth. So they know what they used to tempt me if at all. Just talking, you know, little things. But I'm just trying to say that when I say evil spirits will preach to you, don't think they're going to preach, go and fornicate, go and steal, go to club, all those things. They would preach things that seem real, that seem right. You know, scripture says that the enemy paints himself as an angel of light. It's the kind of revelation he's going to bring to you, right? And if you are not careful, you know, part of sobriety is while you are waiting, while you are choosing, is you're using scripture to confirm. You're using scripture to confirm. And if you are not careful, you take the wrong light, take that wrong piece, add it to the puzzle, and you have a new image. It looks like a god. And then you begin to worship it, right? But by mercy, there's grace in the house to fight, to make war in your thoughts, in prayer, in the word. Stay on it. Believe it. You know, when it comes to the things of the kingdom, not that I'm going into that, you know, that depth, but scripture says that it's a child who will enter the kingdom. One of the blessings of childlikeness is you can believe what an adult will say is silly. Right? Again, using the example of healing, if I tell you that this your toe can grow back. So whatever happened to your toe, I'm just using a toe as an example, because if I tell you that your toe can grow back, if I call Eva, I tell Eva to pull my thumb, and I tell her that my thumb has gone, she'll believe that it's gone. And if I tell her that she should pray that it'll come back, and I do this, she believes that it's her prayer that did it. That's how silly your faith should be when it comes to the things of God. And I'm saying silly because that's what the world calls it, but it's actually a powerful thing to be able to believe what senses think is foolishness, right? So when we are coming here, we're coming here for to receive substances. Remember, like I was saying, a piece of the picture. Welcome to receive it. You want to hold it, guard it with your life. If the Lord says you can be like Christ, it does not matter what kind of infirmities that you are seeing. Believe it. How will it happen? Keep hearing. Keep holding on to the different pieces you come to meeting to take. Hold that piece, hold that piece, hold that piece until you see the picture of yourself outside of that infirmity. If you give up before the picture is painted, you will stay unbelieving. You will stay unbelieving. And it's almost insulting, but we do it all the time. Lord have mercy on us. Where the Lord will tell you something and you ask him if he's sure by your attitude. Competent Savior, high priest of good things to come. You only you can save me. And then pastor comes and starts to preach and teach and show you how that can happen. And it's like, but what about? Because your brain gets involved. You know, Pastor Jeff was talking about the possibility of having faith in your heart and doubt in your brain, in your head. Part of the warfare. Because our brains, because of the work of sin in men, our brains, because they are not fully regenerated, it's easier to believe what an evil spirit will say. You know, one of the thoughts that came to mind when I was just thinking about it, and it's come to me a couple of times, but it's like, Satan knows the work that he has done in men. So it doesn't take much to fan the flame, so to speak. It's almost like, take someone who has anger issues, right? The infirmity of anger. Satan knows how to trigger that because he did the work. He knows how to, what the play button looks like, right? So if, for instance, now your infirmity is anger, you keep getting angry, Lord help me, I don't get angry. You go, they do the exact opposite. And you get angry. And Pastor Jeff comes and teaches you and says, it's possible to not be angry anymore. It's possible to be a man of peace. It's possible that you can walk away from, you know, a provocation and you're just like, but what if? What if? What faith does is it believes it's possible even when it doesn't feel like it. What do I mean? If Jesus said it, then there's a reality that he's living in that is possible. I want to come into that reality. And that's the thing, like the fact that, you know, Kai was singing Eternal Life, the promise, the living hope that we have been promised. It's a promise. When God, and the picture I have is when God looked down at men on earth and he said they will come into eternal life. To him, it's not a they can. There's a reality where in God we have eternal life. While the ones who are in a different world where we're still saying, is this sure? Are you sure? When Jesus comes to you and says, I can take away this anger issue from you, it's not a, it's possible, I can do it. To him, you don't have anger issues. And that's why he keeps coming to teach us, to speak to us. As filthy as we think we are, as unsaved as we think we are, when Jesus comes, he's seeing people living eternal life. And so when he's talking to us, all he's trying to say is, here's how to come to where I am. Let me show you what I see when I look at you. So he will preach, and he will preach, and he will preach until you see that picture that he's seeing of you. Then you desire it. Right? So why do we keep coming? Why do we keep hearing the same things? Because Jesus believes that you can come to where he is. Jesus believes that you can actually have a conversation with me in my presence. Because I see you in my presence. You just need to come to my reality. Right? But like I said before, because of the work that Satan has done, you know, in our flesh, it's easier to believe the things that just make sense. And sometimes that just makes sense is backed up by experience. You know, in recent times, I realized that part of my faith is based on my experience. I can drive with one hand because I've done it before. So yes, Jesus, I trust in you. I can drive with one hand because I've experienced it. But what if the Lord says, I want you to fly a plane? I don't believe I can fly a plane because I haven't flown a plane before. But Jesus is like, look, the way I'm looking at you, you're already flying the plane. Probably crazy examples, but I just want to paint to you how that, when it comes to faith and what Jesus is looking for from us, it's beyond your experience. Yes, the experience helps, right? Because Jesus paid for my rent last week, I believe that he would give me a job tomorrow. Those experiences help your faith. But when we talk about growing in faith, it starts with out the experience. It starts with just trusting that if Jesus said it, then there's a reality that exists that I want to come into, right? And so, you know, we sing, Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. The border is your level of experience. So when you tell him to lead me, what you're telling him to do is take me to a place where I don't have experience, but there's a reality in you. It's more solid in you than it is here. And then when you ask him to take you, he starts by, guess what? Preaching. He starts to paint the picture. Okay, so this place where I'm at, right, beyond your borders, here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. Here's what it looks like. You know, and every time Pastor Jeff comes, I was telling somebody one time that every time Pastor Jeff sits here, he's teaching Jesus. It's just which words he's using, right? So Jesus is in a reality or in a world of realities that he's calling us into. And every one of us, there's a reality in him that he's painting. So when Pastor Jeff sits here or any servant of the Lord stands here and begins to preach, what Jesus is doing is he's telling you a story about his reality. So here's how it is. It's almost like someone who hasn't been to Canada before, and Pastor Tom, while you're in Canada, I want to tell them how snow, what's the snow like, right? For them to be asking, there's a kind of belief that snow exists. So when you ask the Lord to lead me where my trust is upward, you believe that there's a place that your faith has not reached, right? So Pastor Omar is telling them, so this is what snow looks like. It's white, it's flurry, then it melts, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that person is beginning to get an imagination of what snow looks like. So that when they come to Canada, it's not strange because it was already a reality in Uncle Tomiwa's experience. That's where Jesus is calling us to. In his world, there's a kind of snow where you are in it, where you are living without fear, where you are living like Satan doesn't exist, because Jesus and Satan, what are they looking for together? He's been tempted and he overcame Satan. So when it comes to temptations, you're thinking, Lord, can I not? Jesus is like, hey, from my POV, you totally can. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Every time you come to meeting, he's telling you, okay, so this is another part of this, my reality, where you are. This is it. So do you know that there's a point in time where you don't lie anymore, where you don't get angry anymore? There's a point where you actually love this auntie that you don't like. This is your sister that you think, let me do my duty. There's a point where you actually love her crazy. Let me tell you how to come here. That is what preaching does. Day after day. So next time you're coming to meeting, tell yourself, I'm coming to take a picture of a piece of the puzzle, a piece of the picture. And when you're looking for a piece, you listen attentively. You listen attentively and you take that piece. And what you do when you get home is look for where in the picture does that piece fit, so that the vision of yourself in Jesus's reality becomes clearer. And the clearer the picture is, the stronger your faith, the stronger your desire, the longer you can stay fighting for it, right? So when pastors are preaching and it seems like, oh, we've heard this before, listen. Listen again. Listen like you've never heard before, because it's a piece that you don't have. It's a piece of the puzzle that you don't have, right? And when you want to fight such that it's like, today's the day I must get this piece. If I don't get this piece, I don't know. And the thing with Satan is Satan's always looking to fill gaps. He's always looking to fill gaps. It's like you can see a vision of yourself. You know, the Lord has helped you by preaching, by teaching, by faith, meditation. You see that, okay, if Jesus was like this, then I can be like this. But there's that but that you see. And that but is like, I don't know how. If you miss the day where that peace is supposed to come, another spirit will give you a peace to feel it. It's almost like you have a black and white picture. Okay, you have a colored picture. And there's a portion missing. But whatever reason, you know, God forbid, you picked pieces from the wrong place. And then it's black and white. It's a picture. And when I say picture, I'm talking about understanding. Wholesomeness of understanding. Right? It'll tamper with your understanding. And Pastor Jeff said, our lives are carried out by understanding. You know, what you understand will influence what you do, right? And so, come to meeting. Come with attention. Come with affection. Come to take pieces. Fight. Fight. And for the pieces you already have, fight to hold them. Fight to stay believing in the things that you are hoping for. Stay in it until you receive it and until you have it. Amen. Let us begin to pray. For strength to fight, to contend for the faith, to stay believing, let us pray. Where we have had the wrong attitude to meeting, let us ask the Lord for mercy. Because every time we come, Jesus is excited to tell us about where he is, that he's calling us to pray. desire, strength in faith,